tonight down to 65. And then tomorrow we get into a day with some sunshine, some clouds, really no rain showers until maybe late in the evening on Thursday night. Thursday afternoon, a high of 83, a low down to 64. And then Friday, a chance of showers, a thunderstorm possible, some sunshine, though. And that's going to be your weather forecast as we go throughout the weekend. Each day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 74 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Everyone, welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Wednesday midweek edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. We'll have guests later. Looking forward to a chat with Jack Cohen, who's currently the president of the Marine Preservation Fund. We'll find out what that's all about. It's been around for a while. It's a great organization. So Jack will be here to chat about that. And also a little bit later, still on the program today, we're going to be talking to Joseph Rotenberg, who has written an interesting book. It's called Timeless Travels, and it's stories of the Jewish American experience. Joseph Rotenberg will be chatting with us later on the program today. So a lot of good things to talk about here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, starting with Open Talk. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Don't know how many of you saw the morning edition of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today. I was struck by a picture on the front page, and I was talking about this with my early morning colleague, Kate, earlier today. Taylor Swift was in concert last night at Heinz Field, one of those big stadium concerts. And, you know, I guess it was sellout. Amazing. Huge crowd. And, you know, that's great. Taylor Swift is one of the most popular singers these days and draws big time on her tours. What I was struck by was the picture on the front page of the Post-Gazette of girls dancing in the parking lot as they were tailgating prior to the Taylor Swift concert last night. And the girls are all 7 years old. 7 years old. They're little things. And, you know, my first reaction was, what are seven-year-olds doing going to a Taylor Swift concert? Now, Kate told me this morning while they love her, I said, what's Taylor Swift, you know, adult themes in her music, as in most music these days. How the heck could seven-year-old girls relate to that? It would be impossible. Impossible. So, you know, they're just, it's the thing to do now to swoon over entertainers. I mean, this has happened before. It happened with the Beatles. It happened with Elvis. Heck, you could go all the way back to the 1940s when it happened with the Frank Sinatra. You know, the Bobby Soxers swooning over a very young Frank Sinatra. But these were mostly teenagers, right? Who swooned over Elvis and the Beatles and so on. These are almost little babies, seven-year-old girls. And, you know, Kate said, well, their parents took them. And my question would be, why are parents taking seven-year-olds to a Taylor Swift concert? My goodness gracious, they grow up fast enough, don't you think? don't you think? Going to a Taylor Swift concert when you're only 7 years old? I don't know. I can tell you this. When I was 7 years old, I had no idea who pop singers were, and nor did I care for that. Now, later on, it's a different story, but seven? Seven? I guess the world is changing. For the better? I'm not sure. Well, that's one thing that tells you the world is changing. And then I saw a story about trying to determine the correct age to give your child a cell phone. A cell phone. And there are kids 10 and even younger who are clamoring for their own phone. I don't know. Would you give a 9 or a 10-year-old their own phone these days? Their own phone? I certainly wouldn't. 10 years old? I mean, these are still, I mean, they're not little babies, but they're still developing, my goodness, at this age. Are they able to deal with many of the things that are readily available over a cell phone these days? I think not. No, I think not. But I guess some parents are caving in to the, you know, the peer pressure that their kids feel from others. You know, have your own phone. I didn't have my own phone until I was out of college. That's true. And when I was in school, you shared a phone with about four other rooms in the dorm. You know, the phone was out in the hall, and depending on how many rings it had, you knew whether it was for you or for somebody in the next room or the next room. Times have changed, huh? Times have changed. Do you think we're making our kids grow up too quickly these days? What do you think? 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. I still can't get over 7-year-olds being taken by their parents to a Taylor Swift concert. Now, if a 7-year-old says, I want to go see Taylor Swift, well, that's one thing. But for parents to capitulate and say, oh, okay, we'll take you. I don't know. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today. 283-2525. Our phone number. An interesting story in the Sunday paper this past weekend about, and I didn't know this, there was once a Miss America who came from Western Pennsylvania. McKeesport, as a matter of fact. Henrietta Lever won the Miss America pageant back in 1935. It's a while back. That must have been early on in the Miss America campaign, because that whole pageant was founded as a way to keep tourists coming to Atlantic City after the peak of summer, which is why it was held in September. Well, anyway, this young woman, Henrietta Lever, won the Miss America pageant in 1935. Couple of things that make it interesting. Number one, she wasn't a miss anymore. She was already married, but I guess the Miss America pageant people didn't know that. She kind of kept it a secret because actually where she was working at the time, they frowned on women being married. So she hid her marriage and yet won Miss America. The other thing was interesting, there was a Pittsburgh sculptor who, when she came back to Pittsburgh after winning Miss America and all that, wanted to make a sculpture of her. And she agreed, and she sat for it and so on and so forth in a bathing suit. And when it was done and it was unveiled to her, there was no bathing suit. It was a nude sculpture, and she was appalled, and I don't know whether she ever sued the guy or what, but the point is, even way back then, 1935, bathing suits for the Miss America pageant. That's being eliminated, in case you haven't heard. Yeah, there's still going to be a Miss America pageant, But no longer will the young women have to parade around in bathing suits or in evening gowns. That's all going to be eliminated. What do you think? Yeah. Some folks are saying high time, that there's much more to a woman than how she looks in a bathing suit or an evening gown. Others are saying, well, that's why we watched the darn thing, you know. I always found it rather amusing to see these young women in bathing suits and high heels, you know, at the Miss America pageant. Because who in the name of heaven would wear high heels, stiletto heels, while they were wearing a bathing suit? It's a ridiculous combination. High heels are rather ridiculous, too, all by themselves. But high heels in a bathing suit? I always thought it was kind of degrading to women. But that was only my opinion, but I didn't watch the Miss America pageant anyway. So, in fact, that whole concept of, you know, Miss America, Miss USA, Miss Universe, Miss World, I always thought was kind of degrading to women. Do they have a Mr. Universe, Mr. World, Mr. USA? No. No. They have guys, but they do? There's a, no, Pat Parker's saying, I said, that's a muscle-building thing, you know, bodybuilding competition. You don't have men strutting around on stage at Atlantic City wearing Speedos. No. 283-2525. How much longer will Miss America be around anyway? Miss America pageant. I'm not sure that it has too much longer to live in this age of the Me Too. Me Too. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. The political season didn't used to get underway until after Labor Day. Not anymore. Already the TV channels are being saturated with ads, particularly for governor, with the candidates already airing their ads, Governor Wolf and his challenger, Scott Wagner, and also some for U.S. Senate, too. I haven't seen any Lou. Yes, I guess I have seen a Lou Barletta ad. I've seen some Bob Casey Jr. ads. In fact, one of them on TV has a man and a wife sitting there. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. And they end up saying, well, we agree on we like Bob Casey. It's, no, it's an interesting ad, certainly different from some of the other ones. And it's not negative, which I kind of find refreshing, too. Because, to me at least, the negative ads are just a real turnoff. And in many cases, I'm more tempted to vote against somebody who runs a whole lot of negative ads as opposed to someone who runs a positive ad and says, look, this is what I'd like to do. If I'm elected, this would be my platform. This is what I'd like to do for you. Instead of, you know, all these negative ads against the other guy or the other woman. But get used to it. We've been seeing him for a while. No longer do we have to wait till after Labor Day for the campaign season to begin. No, no, it's pretty much in full swing right now. In fact, for a U.S. Senate, Lou Barletta was in Butler yesterday. He stopped out at the Butler Farm Show on this campaign bus. I guess he's crisscrossing the state already. Doesn't November seem like a long ways off yet? Here we are. Still the first half of August. It's Farm Show Week. Oh, well, I guess we have to get used to it. I don't know about you, but if I'm watching TV and you can hardly watch a newscast without seeing these ads, I just tune them out. I don't pay that much attention. I'll worry about Election Day when I get a heck of a lot closer to early November. Okay, let's go to the folks. Open talk here at 283-2525, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I might be old-fashioned, but after I had this woman's march, and it's the woman's turn now and all that,
mm-hmm.
and all the clothing is so, I mean, they're half dressed on TV, and every one of the shows, it seems like they have to have a bust line showing. You know, what kind of woman thing is this? Where we're allowed to do anything, and then they don't think a man should come on to them? What kind of business is that, anyway?
Well, there's
and
actually...
for kids, now I'll go back to the kids.
Mm-hmm, yes.
My daughter had a son. He's 8 years old. He came home from school. And she said, you change your clothes and get your older clothes on and put your school clothes away. Well, I don't have to. My teacher says, you're abusing me. He says, I'm just going to call the cops on you. She said, well, I'll call the cops, and you and your sister can go and live in a great big house with other kids, and you won't have your toys or anything. Now, they've been teaching the kids that, being abused, and I see where kids abuse parents, and they can't do nothing about it, because you called the police, and they're going to arrest you. Okay?
Well, I'm not sure on that. When you said it was an 8-year-old boy?
He was 8 years old at the time.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's grown now.
And he claimed, he told his mother that his teacher told him he was being abused?
Yeah.
Because his mother told him to change clothes?
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous.
We don't have to take that.
I
know this abuse thing went a little far, but there's always been the abusers, and there'll always be. But they don't have to teach the kids that they can turn their parents in.
Do you really think that a teacher told the boy that? That sounds unbelievable to me.
Well, it seemed like some of the kids come home from school saying things like that, and I had more grandkids go there. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were teaching them. They don't have to be abused.
How reliable is the word of an 8-year-old, though?
I don't know. But I noticed, though, there are some parents that have problems that kids just run right over top of them. It's just like people when they drive the bus, they have abusive and ignorant to children, or even in school, they disrespect their teachers and everything. They mind nothing of calling them a name. Yeah,
well,
teachers will tell you that, too. It's very hard, and you can't correct or do anything to a child, or you get turned in.
Well, what would you think about parents clamping down and laying down the law a little bit stronger? What would you think about that?
Oh, well, then they're going to call the cops on them. This is what goes on. I'm telling you that I know that that my daughter had saw a thing on a computer, I think, or TV, where these 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids, they wanted their parents to let them have the car go here and there. And they said, you're not old enough, you can't go. And they smashed up things in their house. And the parents didn't do anything about it because they'll tell the parents that cops are being abused.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about this for a second. I always like to apply common sense to situations like this. Do you really think that police are going to come to a home and investigate because the kids claim that their parents won't let them use the car? I mean, that's not abuse.
I don't know, but it just seemed to me that
it's not abuse. I mean, abuse is when you're physically harmed.
The kids don't have the respect today they used to have, Dave. They don't.
Oh, I agree with you on that, but I think...
They just pass you and knock you down before anything else.
Well, I think in many cases, parents need to crack down a little more.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point, but I wanted to address... the dressing on TV and everything that goes there.
Do you watch the Miss America pageant? Do you think it's right that women paraded around in bathing suits and high heels?
Nope. My granddaughters were all in Miss Butler County and everything, and they never dressed like that.
Mm-hmm.
They always had little T-shirts and shorts on.
Well, it's not going to be that way any longer at Miss America either.
No. Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Well, I guess I get too many subjects together here, huh?
That's okay. It's good to talk with you. Nice to have you with us today.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye-bye. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. You know, abuse is one thing, and certainly nobody's going to, goodness gracious, everybody's being abused. That's uncalled for and inexcusable, but... You know, not allowing a teenager to use the car is not abuse. And telling your child to change clothes when they come home from school is not abuse. That just, I mean, that doesn't fit the category. And nobody's going to be investigated for that. They're not going to bring children and youth or police to your home because you told your kid to change clothes after school. Although, from what I've seen, with kids going and coming from school these days, there would be no need to change clothes. No need to change into your play duds, because some of the outfits that they wear to school today is a far cry from days gone by. Right? Yeah, right. And I hate to pick on the Butler area school kids, but those are the only ones I see. Because in many cases, the intermediate and senior high students are walking right past our studios. We're on Pillow Street here, and you know, on the way to and from school, and it's sometimes astonishing to me what the kids wear to school, and what apparently is allowable. Now, there were indications, there was some talk late this past school year that the Butler Area School District is going to institute a dress code or revise their dress code policy. I don't know whether anything ever came of that or not. I haven't heard anything since then. And we're only a few weeks away from the start of school, huh? Yeah. It's not the most important thing in the world, but I've always been a believer in how you dress is how you act, so to speak. You know, if you're dressed more appropriately, you'll act more appropriately. And if you're dressed like you, you know, look like you just got out of bed or you're ready to go for a day at the beach, you might not behave as appropriately in class as you otherwise would. Am I old-fashioned in that view? Maybe I am. 283-2525 is our number. I'm not talking about going to school in a three-piece suit, but just more appropriate clothing, you know, as opposed to short shorts and low-cut outfits and tight jeans and ripped jeans and all that sort of thing. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525, open talk. Here on the It's Your Turn program today, the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. It is already the 8th of August, my. As we're into the second week of August now. Well, we had news this week, was it yesterday? Monday, I guess. That word came that there's going to be another mini casino coming to western Pennsylvania in Beaver County, just west of Elwood City. Mini casino. When I saw the news, I said, oh, okay, because they're putting up these mini casinos in a number of places. But then I saw what they would have there. 750 slot machines. 750 slot machines plus 30 table games for, you know, Texas Hold'em and poker games and that. 30 table games. And 750 slot machines. And this is a mini casino? That was my first thought. This is a mini? Yeah. My goodness, how many slot machines are there in the full-fledged casino? I've never been in any of them here in western Pennsylvania. We've got the Rivers Casino down on the north shore of Pittsburgh, down by Plainsfield. We've got the Meadows Casino, down by the Harness Track in Washington County. I've been to the Meadows Track, but not to the casino. And there's a casino up in Erie, too, I think, right? Pocono Downs, I think there's a casino there. But I've never been in them, and so I have no idea how many slot machines they have, but it must be more than 750 if that constitutes a mini casino. We're going to have casinos all over the place, huh? Good, bad? Doesn't bother you one way or another? I don't go to them, so it won't bother me personally, but wow. You wonder about financing state government with all these casinos, gambling. Now I have the Pennsylvania Lottery, which is now gargantuan. We've got the casinos, the mini casinos. We've got online gambling. Now, starting this fall, sports gambling in Pennsylvania has been legalized. So we'll have betting on football and basketball games and everything. Heck of a lot of gambling going on, huh? You a gambler? 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Well, it will no longer be, have to go on vacation to go to a casino. Heck, you can drop in for an hour or so in a matter of minutes now here in Pennsylvania. 283-2525 is our number. Oh, by the way, don't forget tomorrow on the program, I'll meet for the first time, the new president of Slippery Rock University, Dr. William Barry, will be here. I'm looking forward to a nice sit-down chat with the new Prexy up at Slippery Rock. He just took over, I think, July 1st. So certainly he's getting ready for his first semester at the school. He comes from New Jersey. And from all I've heard, and I've heard from several people, he's a really nice guy. So we'll meet him and talk to him tomorrow, and you can meet him as well here on the radio. 12:30 tomorrow, the president will be with us. And also on tomorrow's program, we'll be talking about end-of-life conversations that you need to have with your aging parents or grandparents or others. Not the easiest thing to do, kind of awkward perhaps. We'll talk with Jim Miller, who has some ideas on conversation starters for this issue and why it's so important. And because in many cases, adult children of parents don't know a lot about parents' financial situation, their legal documents, where they are, their insurance policies, how many, where are they, all that sort of thing. And they don't know a lot about what their parents' or grandparents' funeral plans might be, or their wishes for a funeral. So how to get that conversation started? We'll talk about that tomorrow with Jim Miller, who'll be visiting with us on the program as well. We have Pirate Baseball this afternoon here on WISR. The Pirates will try to take 2 out of 3 from the Colorado Rockies. The Bucks beat the Rockies last night, 10-2. You heard the game here on WISR. We'll have this afternoon's game as well. 2:45 is our airtime for Pirate warm-up today from Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. Wonder what kind of beer they sell at Coors Field. And don't forget, tomorrow night, it's kickoff for the Pittsburgh Steelers preseason game number 1. And we'll have all the action here on WISR. Bill Hillgrove sliding in behind the microphone again for another season of live radio play-by-play. And boy, it'll be good to hear his voice again. Call him the Steeler action. Bill Hillgrove here on WISR tomorrow night, along with Tun Shilkin and Craig Wolfley, as the Steelers play the Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. And don't forget, the Eagles are the Super Bowl champs. Yeah, they won the Super Bowl back in February. Coach Mike Tomlin said yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger will not play. That's standard procedure. He doesn't play in the early preseason games. However, Tomlin said all three of the other quarterbacks will see at least some action. So that'll be interesting. You can tune in here on WISR tomorrow night. We'll have plenty of Steeler pregame talk starting at 5, and then kickoff is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Thursday night game. Again, that's not unusual. The Steelers usually play at least one, sometimes two, Thursday night games during the preseason. Okay, we're going to take a break here. Get ready to chat with Jack Cohen about the Marine Preservation Fund coming up here on WISR on the It's Your Turn program today. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hey, folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Goin Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Goin Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Come hear music spanning over four decades and enjoy a buffet dinner all in one night at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center in Lindora. Relive the 50s and 60s with the Doo-Wop Shop featuring Bill Riker, and then jump to the 70s, 80s, and beyond with The Voices. You can hear it all on Saturday, August 11th. Doors open at 6, dinner by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets are only $25. Call 724-287-00.
Well, we'll hang on a couple of minutes here before we talk to Jack Cohen. We understand he's on the way from another meeting here in Butler. He'll be with us shortly. Meantime, I want to tell you about coming up later on the program today, a chat with Joseph Rotenberg, who is a storyteller in the American Jewish tradition. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Look at the Jewish-American experience today. He tells stories in a very similar vein to Sholem Alachem, a storyteller from Russia, whose stories eventually were molded into Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah, the wonderful, wonderful musical. One of my favorites of all time. But that's the tradition. Now, that was in Russia, of course. We'll be talking about the Jewish-American experience in New York City and thereabouts with Joseph Rotenberg a little bit later on the program today. So we'll be getting an update from Jack Cohen about the Moraine Preservation Fund. Jack also, of course, at the Tourism and Convention Bureau, the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. Get an update on that from him as well here on the program. And don't forget, tomorrow, William Barry, the new president of Slippery Rock University, scheduled to chat with us tomorrow. Anxious to meet Dr. Barry. I've heard from a lot of people that he's a very personable man. I have not even talked to him on the telephone. We were able to set up a time to chat with him, a very busy time for him as they're getting ready to start a new semester at Slippery Rock University, and it'll be his first as he just took over as the top administrator at the Rock this summer. Coming up later this week on the program, we'll be talking about end-of-life issues with Jim Miller. He'll be with us, in fact, on tomorrow's program. You're on It's Your Turn on WISR. And next week, as we continue to gear up for the start of a new academic year, and boy, that seems impossible, doesn't it? Whew, wow. But here we are, August the 8th already. Most of the schools now begin classes in late August. No longer do we wait till after Labor Day. And that includes the institutions of higher education, like BC3. They'll be starting very soon, too, and Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of the school, will be with us next week. It's been a while since we chatted with Dr. Neupower, so he'll be here next week as well. Okay, we continue on with the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, and we say hi to Jack Cohen, who joins us here in the studio now. Jack, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, I need to get you a little bit closer to that microphone. Ah, that's grand. That'll keep my engineer happy. You're currently the president of the Moraine Preservation Fund?
I am. I kind of like my free time up at the park. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorite places to hang out.
Me too. And especially just hanging out. I love the events that are out there. Of course, we just had the regatta last weekend, which was a big success.
Even with that crazy, busy, fun regatta, there's 17,000 acres of open space.
Yeah.
Go find your tree. It's a great thing.
I have my tree. I'm not saying where it is because I like to be by myself when I take a book out there. If it's been a stressful week or a stressful day, I can zip out there with a book and a cup of coffee.
That is the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all free. That's the best part.
That's right. We were just talking earlier this week, we don't realize sometimes what we have here in Pennsylvania. I visited a state park in New York a few years back. You have to pay to get in.
Yeah. You know, they always thought about that. And in Pennsylvania, they always said, this is the citizens' park. They don't have to pay. They already pay.
Yeah.
And
that's
a great thing, and I'm glad they stick to that.
Well, it was a nice park. It was at Letchworth up in the Genesee River, kind of beautiful place.
Yeah.
But they have a little toll booth when you go in.
A couple of bucks, yeah.
Got to pay.
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Well, listen, let's talk about the Moraine Preservation Fund. This is a fabulous organization. Been around for a while, and I don't know whether I'm remembering this correctly or not, but wasn't it organized at a time when state funds were very short and things were beginning to go sour at Moraine? The picnic tables were crumbling and they weren't being replaced and that sort of thing?
Yeah, some things never change, you know, and you think about it, but it's been in existence for over 20 years.
I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, huh? Over 20 years, and they have a boat that they have out on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And that boat was purchased in 1989.
Mm.
So it's getting up in years for the life expectancy of a boat. That's one issue. But if you look at the park, in 2020, it'll be 50 years. It'll be the 50th anniversary of Moraine State Park. And you look at the infrastructure of the park, and you look at the present conditions of the park, and the current conditions, and new things, and, you know, old things. So they're all there. Mm-hmm. And you think about, in 2008, Moraine State Park was picked as the number one state park in Pennsylvania. And it wasn't even 50 years old yet. You know, the history of that great property is it was all oil wells, gas wells, and frankly, it was strip mined.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to pull that ground together, figure out how to replant and save that property, and to become the number one state park is an amazing story for Pennsylvania.
It is.
Certainly for our region.
And we thank the late Dr. Frank Preston and others for having the foresight in the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy to start slowly acquiring the land necessary. And then, how about this? Let's recreate a glacier lake, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
And they did it.
They did. The Muddy Creek, they made the dam. It took 2 years only to make that lake, just damming up Muddy Creek. And, you know, you think Muddy Creek got its name because it was a muddy creek. But look what it's become now. You have a seven-mile lake. It is absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, if you look at Muddy Creek, it isn't very big, folks, but with the proper technology and the dam and everything else, a magnificent lake out there now. So the boat that the Moraine Preservation Fund has is called the Nautical Nature.
That's correct.
And there's a campaign getting started to
start a campaign now to try and raise funds to buy a new boat. We would love to have it for the anniversary, which is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What we'd like to do is buy a double-decker boat so people can really enjoy the scenery of the magnificent state park. You know, we had crews out there, and we took people out for short jaunts during the regatta, and they all came back and said, we saw the bald eagles. We saw the osprey nests.
Mm-hmm.
We saw blue heron. All those things are there every single day. You know, they don't punch a clock. They live there, they breathe there, they eat there, and we get to experience that nature and that beauty. And while you're on the boat, they're going to tell you how the park was formed, and they're going to teach you about the wonderful stewardship that we all should be doing to save that park and think about the other things we come in contact with every single day and what we can do to make a difference in our communities.
I've ridden on the Nautical Nature. It's a wonderful trip. I've been on it a few times, as a matter of fact. And it's a totally different view that you get of Lake Arthur and the shoreline from out on the water as opposed to, you know, being
at the park.
It
really is. You know, you can see the glacier rock still.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the sailboats going by, people out there fishing, people in kayaks and on paddle boards. It's just amazing to look at and enjoy. And I don't know how many people realize it, but they also do dinner cruises. And if you have a family reunion and you got folks in town, you can take 36 of your friends and you being the 37th and go out there for a wonderful cruise or have tables set up and caterers that will cater your dinner. And it's really enjoyable. I have to tell you, I do that every year. I get all my children and my grandchildren, and we go out and we spend an evening out on the lake. And there's nothing more beautiful than to seeing that nature in your face and sitting down and have a nice meal.
So tell us about the campaign to try to raise money to get a new and bigger boat.
Well, if you're interested, they have a GoFundMe page. And you can find that on the MorainePreservation.org website. And that's what it's called, MorainePreservationFund.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a donation to help us raise those dollars to get enough to go out and buy that new boat. We have been saving for quite some time. And, you know, the boat's probably close to $200,000. It's a very expensive proposition for us. But in the years that we've been involved in trying to know that we need this, we have over $120,000 already. And we really need to get the rest of the funds because we really want to do it for the 2020 celebration.
Well, that's terrific. That's the first I've heard about it. I didn't know there were plans to replace the Nautical Nature, but when I find out how old it is, I say, yeah. And, of course, if you're able to get a double-decker, that would give you kind of a...
We went down to a boat manufacturer in Tennessee, and because we've been looking for quite some time to find just the right boat. Mm-hmm. And this manufacturer will be able to build us the boat that we always thought it should be. So you can do corporate events. You could take larger parties. You can take all those Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts and the classes from the schools and bring them out there and experience the true nature of that park and being on the second deck, unimpeded views of the lake and shorelines. It'll be just magnificent.
By the way, the Nautical Nature sails, at least for most of the year, from the... North Shore, right? Down there near McDonald's Launch.
That's correct, McDonald's Launch. And it'll be there, and the new ramps are open. You need to come out to quick access to the North Shore. Right off of 422, two ramps will take you in and out. Mm-hmm. It makes it very simple for everybody to get in and out of the park now.
The Nautical Nature offered trips this past weekend, too, during the regatta. And I think they sailed from right there at Pleasant Valley.
Yeah, we did. We pulled up. We had a dock at Pleasant Valley Beach, and we took people out. And all but one cruise was completely full. Mm. So people experienced the lake and got to see that beautiful nature and came back and had fun at the regatta. So it's a great break from that heat. They all took a quick ride out on the lake, and the breezes on the boat were really nice to cool you down.
The Moraine Preservation Fund has done a lot of other things, too. They were involved, I do believe, in the reintroduction of the osprey. Am I correct on that, Jack?
There were no osprey at Moraine State Park. And early on in the creation of the Friends Group, they reintroduced ospreys to the park. And we put up a tower for them to breed in, and they did. We brought eggs up, and that's how it all started. And now they come back every year, and they're beautiful birds of prey that come out. You'll watch them dive into the lake and bring up a fish in their talons and fly away, and they feed their kids. We also have this year, I hope all of my listeners know about the osprey nest online, and then you can see the osprey laid their eggs, hatched their babies, and now they've grown and flown the coop. And they're out. They're in more osprey in the park. And in the winter months, they fly to Belize. We did trackers on them, and we knew they went to Belize.
My gosh, that's in Central America.
That's where they go.
Wow.
Yeah, and they leave and come back. We could almost pinpoint it to the week when they'll be here. So that's a really interesting thing, and you can leave messages online and talk about what you saw or what you know about an osprey. And, you know, we kind of guessed about the date, and I have to tell you, my staff, as I'm also the president of Butler County Tourism, I challenge my staff to pick the day. And whoever picks the day or the closest, that person gets to pick what they all want to eat for lunch and pay. So I won because I kind of have an inside view of how it went.
Well, I knew about the osprey being there, and I knew that it was a bird of prey that is able to snatch fish. I didn't realize that they were migratory to that. I mean, I've heard of the swallows coming back to Capistrano. I think it's March 19th or something. They come back every year. But the whole way to Belize in Central America and then back to Marin State Park.
That's what they do.
Wow.
We were kind of surprised with that, too. You know, we also did a barn owl program where we reintroduced barn owls for our farmers. And that worked really, really well, and it was very successful. And the latest one that we've done is a bat colony. You know, there's a problem with the bats today, a white nose issue. But we built from the old hacking tower where the ospreys were raised, we turned it into a bat colony. And we redid that, and it'll hold over, I think, 5,000 bats inside that colony. And so the state park monitors that now, and they make sure that, you know, they're colonizing that that facility.
Bats, for some people, are a little bit freaky, if you've seen too many vampire movies. But they're actually extremely beneficial, and especially in this day and age, when we worry so much about ticks and West Nile virus and mosquitoes and everything. What do you think bats do when they go out at night? They eat those jaspers, don't they?
They sure do, and they really help keep that lake nice for the boaters and the fishermen and everybody else that uses the park. They truly do eat a lot of those insects, which that's their role.
I didn't know about Marine Preservation Fund's involvement in that. We have to talk more. We have to trumpet the good things they're doing a little bit more these days.
Yeah, we partner with the state park for the educational purposes. And they're folks who are trained, you know, to come and teach about stewardship are on our boats. And they're in the pavilions when we do the educational part, because we think that's really important for the people that live around here to understand that beautiful nature that's in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go out and watch for the osprey anytime you want. Those big poles that are stuck up every so often, those are for...
That's where they nest. They want to be high enough so nobody can bother them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the poles are like old phone poles, but they're 50 foot tall. And so the nest is up there, and it's probably 700 pounds is what the nest weighs. And they come back to the same nest every single year.
Wow.
And so we'll have that again for next year. And pay attention, that comes usually... usually by October, the adult ospreys will be flying away, but usually in September the young ones are gone and they're already on their way. And I don't know how they know that, but they know where they're going.
And how the heck they ever find their way back.
It's truly amazing.
From Central America, my goodness, that's terrific. So if you've ever seen, if you didn't hear this story before, folks, and you've ever seen some of those high poles, looks like telephone poles sticking up, that's what they're for. They're for osprey to use as nests, and it's been very successful. Any other plans to reintroduce
well, the
other species?
Well, the bald eagles are there, too. And I don't know how many of our listeners have had the ability to see a bald eagle up close, but you'll be surprised that there are a few nests inside Marin State Park now, and you'll find them always around the water because they, too, feed from the fish and other species around there. So you'll see the bald eagles now, too. It's beautiful, just beautiful.
We're talking with Jack Cohen. Jack is currently the president of the Marin Preservation Fund. He's also, of course, head of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, which has had great success over the past few years. I wanted to get an update from you because we chatted, I don't know, sometime late winter, early spring, about what we were hoping would be great results from the new flights out of Pittsburgh International Airport. You can now fly directly to Frankfurt, Germany, from Pittsburgh International. And via quick stop in Iceland, you can also fly to other places in Europe via WOW Airlines.
So there's some great updates on the flights. So we all know about the one to Paris because that was the first one we did about 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a direct into Paris from Delta, and that's a seasonal flight, so they're going to do it over the spring and summer months and the early fall, and then, you know, that shuts down for the winter, and then they back up again, and it's been going on for quite some time, and we were even there. We started back 7 years ago knowing that people from all around the globe should be introduced to Western PA and certainly Butler County. So we went from there, and we got WOW Airlines. And we got them, and as Dave said, you could go anywhere with WOW. You fly into Iceland, and they have flights all over the globe that you can get on from WOW Airlines, and it's a discount carrier. So if you wanted just to go to Iceland, I saw it today. It came across as an email, $99 each way.
Yeah.
Think about that. You go to Orlando, probably the same price, and you get overseas. Then if you want to go into London now, we just introduced a flight through British Airways. It'll start this April, and direct flights out of Greater Pittsburgh. And remember, 15 years ago, British Airways used to be here with, I guess that was U.S. Airways.
Mm-hmm.
And they left as things kind of tightened up in that time frame. But we went and told them our story. We have a group of us, myself, representing Butler County, Pittsburgh, and Washington County. The three of us partnered together, and we went overseas to visit these other countries where we think there'd be great relationships to take people and bring people back. That's the idea here. And so we also got Condor Air for Frankfurt, Germany. And on the 22nd of this month, we're actually taking 10 people. We were invited to come to the sister city of Saxenburg, which is Mühlhausen, Germany. And we're going to be ambassadors for Butler County to invite those folks to come back. The last 10 years, either the mayors or the elected officials in Saxenburg, 1 year they would go to Germany and their elected officials would come in the off year. Well, I kept thinking about that, and I thought, geez, I think it's time to open it up to all the citizens. So we're going over as a group of citizens to tell people how wonderful it is here and that we invite them to come back and see our beautiful community. And that's what we'll be doing starting the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. So that's not far down the road,
Two weeks.
You'll be packing up for Germany. Wow.
We'll be going. We'll be there a week. We'll tour Mühlhausen. They actually have a parade that we'll be involved in. We'll be marching through the parade with all their communities around that area. They all get together and make a huge community event, and we got invited to do that too. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that and talk about the great resources and things we have here in Butler County.
Well, all of these things put together, folks, really add up to a tremendous opportunity for more tourism here in Butler County. The WOW Airlines, gateway to Europe, the Condor, direct to Frankfurt, and starting next spring, BritAir, again, direct from Pittsburgh to London. They did that once many, many years ago.
Yeah, there's two I didn't tell you about. This was really interesting. We had our first direct flight from Shanghai landed on last Friday. There were 335 passengers on that flight to start their vacation in the United States out of Pittsburgh. So they came in. I got fortunate enough to be able to go and introduce myself and our community to 335 folks and had to have a translator because I don't speak Mandarin. But it was really nice. The folks were wonderful. There was a gentleman who turned 91 and got off a flight and never left China. Mm. First time overseas, and the reason he came, his granddaughter's getting married in Pittsburgh. And he was here. And I think he was the hit because he was dressed in traditional Chinese garb and just a really nice gentleman who was so excited to have the opportunity to come to the United States and wind up in our backyard. And that is just something special. And there were children as young as 3 years old on that flight. Families wanted their kids to come and see the beauty of the United States. And again, in our backyard. So we're fortunate to be able to talk about that one. That was a charter flight, and there'll be four more charters next year from direct out of Shanghai into Pittsburgh. And those folks will have the opportunity to come and tour with us here in Butler County. And we're very, very fortunate to start that conversation with China Eastern Airlines and see if we can get them to make a daily or at least a seasonal flight to bring people from China back into the Pittsburgh region.
Mm-hmm. And people love to see what we have to offer. Moraine State Park, of course, McConnell's Mill. They love to see something like that.
There's so much beauty here. You know, you look, the architectural tours of downtown Butler. Mm-hmm. People are amazed when they see the beauty of some of those buildings. And you think about all the different things that are going on. You can talk about sports. One of the folks from China that I met with is actually a tour guide. And she brings people to play different sports to different places. When I mentioned the Lemieux Hockey Arena, she lit up and couldn't believe because she said, and you know, speaking Chinese, she said, Sidney Crosby.
Huh.
And they knew. And so they knew about that, and they want to bring teams here now to get in tournaments that we offer out of the Lemieux Hockey facility. So right away, we make a connection. But you think before a business or a family moves into an area, they're always a guest. And for us, we understand that. So it's important for us, and certainly the citizens of Butler County, to understand when we welcome folks in from other countries or other cities, how important it is for us to really welcome those folks, because they'll move their businesses here, as we know with Westinghouse in their heyday why they came, and because they said it was the quality of life that made them decide on that facility. And then we also know that they'll move here as families because they'll understand the educational opportunities in our backyard. They'll realize the quality of life that we have, like the Jewel of Moraine State Park and all the other amenities that we have throughout our entire county that most counties can't say. We're very fortunate.
You know, one of the things that I was amazed at, because I saw the video coverage of that flight from Eastern Chinese Airlines.
China Eastern.
Yeah, thank you. That we can fly nowadays nonstop from Shanghai to Pittsburgh. That would have been unheard of just a few years ago. You have to stop two or three times to gas up. But with the newer fuel-efficient planes, that's halfway around the world, Jack.
It is, and it's still a 17-hour flight.
Yeah, it's a long ways, but without touching down, that is unbelievable.
You know, I had the opportunity probably 5 or 6 years ago. There were 30 tourism professionals from the United States that were invited to go to China, and Butler County was one of those. We were very fortunate to be there. So I'm on the plane and I'm introducing myself to the other folks on the plane, and this one's in charge of Orlando, this one's San Francisco, LA, New York, and I'm thinking Butler County, that's really different, right? We're a small community compared to all these major cities in the United States. And I didn't understand it until I went to a dinner at one of the embassies in China, and a lady tapped me on the shoulder. She said, "You're from the Pittsburgh region." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And I said, "Butler County, we're just north of Pittsburgh." And she said, "Can you do me a favor?" And I said, "Certainly. How can I help you?" She said, "My son's a freshman at Carnegie Mellon University. Can you check on him for me?" So you understand that when you're a mom or a dad, it's always about your children. And I realized why I got invited, because this lady wanted me to check on her child. Now, I found out who she was as she gave me her business card. She was the director of tourism for the country of China.
Wow.
And her child went to Carnegie Mellon University.
I've had the opportunity here on the program to interview a lot of international visitors and some from places that you wouldn't believe. I had a young woman from Slovenia not too long ago, and from Bosnia-Herzegovina. They loved it here. You wouldn't
think... is what America is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the big cities like New York, L.A., yeah, those are great places, but natural, normal America is Butler County. That's who we are. That's our family values. That's the opportunities we have for recreation, industry, business, shopping, all those different things, restaurants on every corner. This is the place to be because this is real America.
I'm sure there are some people who would have doubted this in the past, but with the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, you've never been afraid to think big, to think globally, and it's really paying off, isn't it?
It truly is. You know, we went through our hotels, we looked at that, and this was not just because it sounds good. We know that all the guests that come to our hotels and where they're from, 10% of all our guests are from the international markets. And you think about the total rooms, there were just under 3,000 rooms in Butler County today. And we know where they're coming from. And why wouldn't we want to welcome those folks here when they spend great money, they're here for longer time, and they keep our taxes lower? So those dollars that come back to our communities, we reinvest in the tourism-based businesses so they can be more successful and make the quality of life in our community even better than what we have today.
Do you make information available in foreign countries?
We do. Actually, if you look on our website, you'll see that in 5 different languages. If you follow the homepage down, you can click on the different flags and be able to see that in different languages. But also, when we go there and we meet with folks, before we go there, we make sure we have everything in their home language, because it's important for them to know that we understand who they are. And maybe we can't speak those languages, but we certainly will make sure they understand what our message is. Mm-hmm. And we put them in their languages. And when they come here, I always tell the folks, I spoke at the embassy in England, a lot easier because they speak English. I think they call it English. So as we met, I always say this to a group from the international market. When you come here, you're my guest. And as I would do in my own home, when you come here, I'll take you to dinner. And the, you know, there's 100 people standing in front of you, and you make that statement, and they start to laugh. And I look at them and I say, I'm not joking. If you come here, you're my guest. I'll take you to dinner. And I truly mean that, because we want them to experience the beauty and the charm of our community. That's how you welcome a guest into your house. This is our house. This is where we live. How would we do anything different?
Yeah. I know when I've been blessed to travel internationally, I always like to try to find the real people, you know, not the glitz and glamour of the major capital cities. That's fun, but...
I agree with you. I think that's the backbone of the United States. That is certainly the backbone of Butler County. You walk in, you know, you ask somebody for directions, you don't know where you're at, then they tell you where they got to go, and you're going, well, I can follow me. And that's what happens. We're welcoming community. We've got that from our ancestors. You know, most of the families have relations probably from Europe or other places around the globe. That's how we all got here. And we understand what it is to welcome people. Our families brought us up that way. And so that's how it works. We never forget where our roots are. And you make people feel welcome, they will continually come back. You make relationships and friends for lifetimes.
And friendship and working toward the global peace is one thing. And I hate to sound too mercenary about this, but there's also an economic benefit to Butler County. In fact, many people might not realize that the number one industry in Butler County nowadays is tourism, right, Jack?
It is. In 2016, the state comes out and tells us our total revenue is based on taxes, and it was $942.1 million, I believe was the number. And that's a lot of money in a year to bring that kind of dollars in. You know, we all know about that Lemieux Hockey Arena that is in Cranberry Township. It generated, just that one piece of business generated economic impact to Butler County, $44.5 million in 2016.
Well, I knew my eyes lit up when several years ago I learned that the Penguins, because they used to practice at South Point, south of Pittsburgh, and when I found out they were going to build a brand new facility here in Butler County, I said, wow, that's going to bring a lot of people here. Yeah,
it's done really well. Now they, too, you know, are looking to the future and what will be next. And, you know, so they're looking internationally. They want to do great things. I don't know how many people out there know, but they bring high school students in now that go and study here, and then after school go over to learn how to play hockey to be NHL stars someday. Mm-hmm. They've got 60 kids in our school district just for that purpose, and they want to double that next year. So that's a really interesting thing. So either the families move here or they find homes for these folks to live in. But they're here. They go to school here. They're learning how to play hockey, and they get a great education on top of it.
Jack Cohen visiting with us today. If you weren't with us at the very beginning of our conversation, let's just quickly go over here the campaign that is underway now on behalf of the Marine Preservation Fund. They're trying to raise a few more dollars to purchase a new Nautical Nature. I don't know whether the new boat will be called the Nautical Nature, the Nautical Nature 2, or whatever.
Well, you know what? We may even be able to find a way to get naming rights out there. But
Ooh. We
have to figure out a way to continually update the state park. At 50 years old, there's a lot of infrastructure, and there's a lot of things that need to change because the world changes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I don't know about you, but I remember when I turned 50, I didn't feel the same when I was 20. And so that, you know, we've got to do some new things and freshen up our park, because it's free to every citizen, and it's something that we all wanted to be at its peak when we walk in.
And if you'd like to help out, even in a small way, you can do that. There's a GoFundMe account that's been set up, and you can access that online.
You can, right through the Marine Preservation website, which is marinepreservation.org.
Good to see you, Jack. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to see you, too.
Yeah. Folks, stick around. Our final guest will be chatting with him on the telephone today, Joseph Rotenberg. And he is a storyteller. We'll be talking about the Jewish American experience. He's a storyteller in kind of the same vein as Sholem Alachem, whose stories eventually were turned into Fiddler on the Roof, one of my favorite musicals. Now, those were Russian stories. These will be stories of the Jewish-American experience in a book that Joseph Rotenberg has published called Timeless Travels. So we'll be chatting with him in just a couple of minutes via the telephone. Stick around. More to come on It's Your Turn. And don't forget Pirate Baseball shortly as well. Live from Denver as the Pirates play an afternoon game with the Rockies. 2:45 is airtime for that. And tomorrow night, Steeler football here on WISR. Can you believe we're ready for that already? Steelers and the Eagles, preseason game number one tomorrow night. Bill Hillgrove will call the live play-by-play here on WISR tomorrow. A quick break. Back with more of It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. If you're a Butler Area School District employee looking for a new pharmacy after the recent insurance change, Institute Hill Pharmacy is your answer. They can fill your prescriptions in just 10 minutes. They take your new insurance plan, they stock a variety of over-the-counter medications, and they pride themselves on fast, friendly customer service. Institute Hill Pharmacy, serving Butler for over a decade. They're ready to serve you. Stop by their store on East Jefferson Street or find them on Facebook. Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. We have an interesting book to discuss, listeners, on the next segment of the It's Your Turn program. And if you're joining us a little bit late on the show today, my name is Dave Malarkey. The name of the book is Timeless Travels. Timeless Travels, Tales of Mystery, Intrigue, Humor, and Enchantment. By Joseph Rotenberg, and Joe is our guest right now, visiting with us on the telephone. Joe, I hope I'm not being too familiar by calling you Joe. I've just met you, after all.
Right. That, well, I prefer it, Dave, if I can call you Dave.
Okay. That's fine. This is an eclectic assortment of there's some essays, there's some stories in here. Some of them are true, some of them are fiction, but it's altogether, it's an exploration of the Jewish experience in any particular part of the world, or the Jewish experience all over, Joe?
It's global. The primary focus, obviously, I'm a proud American and born and raised, and that's my main focus, is America. But in the course of the pages of the book, the reader will travel to maybe 18 countries and 20 states and provinces as part of the timeless travels.
You'll have to help me with the pronunciation of some of the Hebrew words. I know that you style yourself, and many consider you, a traditional Jewish storyteller. Now, my ethnic heritage is Irish, and the traditional storytellers in Ireland were called Shanachies. But the word is M-A-G-G-I-D in Hebrew. How do you pronounce that, Joe?
Magid. It's the root of that word is to tell, you know, a storyteller, essentially.
I see.
And even in modern, in Israel today, they would refer to someone who tells stories would be called a magid. But the word itself means to tell or relate a tale.
And these were individuals who, a long, long time ago, kind of traveled around. They were itinerant preachers who told these stories?
Correct. They would generally have a moral. They were, Jewish Aesops, in this case.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong here. For some reason, in the back of my mind, when I think of one of the great Broadway musicals of all time, in my estimation, Fiddler on the Roof, wasn't that actually a compilation of some Jewish stories in Russia?
Correct. Well, essentially, there was a writer who called himself Shalom Aleichem, which just meant hello in Hebrew. And he upon himself at the beginning of the late, I guess, 19th century, up till about 1916 when he passed away, to tell tales of Russian Jewry. And in the course of that, he introduced the world to Tevye, the milkman with the five daughters that became the basis of Fiddle on the Roof. And what I, if I style myself in anything, I'm trying to be a modern day teller of the veritas of the American Jewish experience through modern times to our current contemporary times.
Your stories, as I mentioned earlier, they range from fiction to nonfiction. Some of them are funny. Some of them are more serious. I think one of the more fascinating ones, and I'd be interested to. Here, I have a feeling it's one of your favorites. You tell the story of your father and how he made his way from, I guess, starting out in Belgium, eventually to the United States. Talk a little bit about that. Is that indeed one of your favorite stories that you share?
Yes, it certainly is. It has almost cinematic scope because it's entitled A Letter from Lisbon. And it tells a tale. I know right now up for Academy Award consideration are movies about Dunkirk in the early stages of World War II. And my father was actually a participant in that, being in the Belgian army in northeastern France. But he was bivouacked just outside the where the German panzers reached in putting the the squeeze on the Allied troops in Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. And bought a bicycle and rode the bicycle throughout France to the southwestern border near Spain, topped a ship to Casablanca, Marrakesh, in French Morocco. Actually was in Casablanca at the time they were making the movie. Yeah, that was his World War II experience. He met the Pasha of Marrakesh. I mean, the story is, as I say, is it will make a great screenplay ultimately. From there to Lisbon, where a very interesting sidelight was that he had a couple of dollars which had been sent to him and had purchased supplies to send to not quite occupied Belgium and even Poland at the time. People don't realize when the Germans invaded, they made military incursions, but they had not really subjugated the countryside initially. So he arranged with, in this case, a Christian storekeeper in Lisbon to ship items to his mother, who was back in Belgium, and other family members inside war-torn Europe. And ironically, the man agreed to do that, and when my father then was able to get from Lisbon to New York, years later, after the war, he received a letter from that gentleman, which had been held up by the British censor in Bermuda until the war was over, and in it was a check for the ballots that the man had not been able to send once it was cut off, from post, from delivery,
yeah.
Which I thought was an example of the honesty and the humanity that managed to survive during the war period, and that's the climax of A Letter from Lisbon.
That's fascinating. My father also served in World War II. I'm always struck when I talk about his experiences or most of these guys in World War II, how young they were. Do you know how old your father was at this time?
My father was one of six brothers. The older ones, unfortunately, the oldest one was killed by the Nazis. The one had made his way to America prior to him, another, and he was the son, who was basically draft eligible and served in the Belgian army. I guess he was about 26 when he finally arrived in America.
Hmm.
Somewhat older.
And thank goodness for that, because as I was reading in the foreword to your book, it's there that he met your Brooklyn-born mother.
Yeah. Right.
A little bit about... go ahead.
No, that was a romance. He came off the boat. The first, we happened to be of an Orthodox background, modern Orthodox, and he was invited to someone's house, after services on Friday night. And across from him was this attractive 19-year-old American girl. And for him, it was love at first sight. It took a little while before, she responded, but he had this habit, we say jokingly, of appearing when she was out on a date with someone else. He would sort of like appear in leprechaun style, so you can relate to it, you know, falling out of bushes or trees, you know, very much direct in his actions, which was the characteristic of my dad.
All of this, thank goodness, because you wouldn't be here.
and the beauty of it is I married a wonderful woman, and my grandchildren, 10 of whom exist now, are all fifth-generation Americans through her family.
Wow, wow.
So, yeah, they go back to, which is always why I've had an interest in history, and growing up in Manhattan, actually, on the Upper West Side, I was a... growing up on the Upper West Side, I styled myself then as a young Teddy Roosevelt. I had four sisters. I was the only boy in the family. And a little klutzy, if I can use a New York word. Accordingly, I identified with Teddy Roosevelt. And it became the basis of my love of travel and of adventure. And as I got older, adolescent and adult, I used that opportunity to, you know, travel around Europe mostly, in the Middle East, and across the United States as an adult. And it's a great country we have. It's amazing. And I tie it in with my Jewish experience.
Listeners, we have a few more minutes, thank goodness, to talk with our guest, Joe Rotenberg. We have to take a quick break here. We'll talk about a few more of the stories in his book, Timeless Travels, when we return here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back right after these words.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 2121. The pick 3, 044. The pick 4, 7286. The pick 5, 82528. Wild ball for each of those is 3. The treasure hunt, 4, 10, 13, 15, and 24. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $70,000.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. No worrying about traffic or expensive parking fees. Free Wi-Fi is also available. Park at a convenient park and ride or hop on the bus at the downtown bus terminal. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us, we're going your way.
Welcome back. If you're joining us a little bit late on It's Your Turn here on WISR today, no problem. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone. He is Joe Rotenberg. He is the author of Timeless Travels, an assortment of essays and stories, some fiction, some nonfiction, exploring the Jewish experience. Obviously a very serious story about your father and his escape from Europe during World War II. There are some funny stories in here too, Joe. Can you talk about one or two of those?
I just to step back, Dave, I see humor flowing just from any narrative I tell. If you or I were to, you know, stand on the in Times Square for any length of time, we're going to see something that's going to make us laugh out loud. It's just the nature of life that humor and irony. So they run throughout. They really run throughout the book. I'm trying to think of a specific story that is totally humorous. Well, a lot of the humor stems around relationships between guys and girls and how they meet. In one case, I described a gentleman by the name of Herman, and I call it Herman's last best chance. Herman is a gambler by nature. I mean, he's the kind of guy who would try to bet you a bug crawling up the wall, which of two bugs would reach, you know, the ceiling first. He has an elderly couple. He has no sibling. And, of course, they're waiting for Herman to meet someone and settle down. He's able to bet on himself and rely on himself, but not take a chance on another human being. Finally, on one Passover for vacation, he goes to British Columbia, where he's finds himself being seated with young eligible young ladies. One catches his eye, but she seems to reject him until two or three days into the vacation, he decides he's eaten enough, right, at the proverbial table, and he decides to do a little hiking or taking a run out in the mountains there in the Rockies. And as he works his way around the corner, what does he come upon? A grizzly bear having devoured its prey, or in the process of devouring its prey. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the basic reaction is you're not supposed to run away from a grizzly bear, but that takes a lot of courage that most of us don't possess. So about to fight off that desire to run, he hears a shrill police whistle behind him, which frightens away the bear, and then he's safe again. Turns out it's that young lady who saves his life. So that's his last best chance. And, of course, he announces to his parents that he's fallen in love with a lady who saves his life from a grizzly bear. And they're very happy, the parents. And that's the final scene where the mother sends the father out to get stamps at the post office, the invitations.
Readers of Joe Rotenberg's book, Timeless Travels, will also learn quite a bit about history, the history of Jerusalem, the history of Israel. Were you knowledgeable about this, Joe, or did you do some research, or tell us about that?
Combination. I spent my junior, I was a student at Columbia College, you know, Columbia University in New York, and for my junior year, I was a transfer student at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem in 1968, 1969, and it was a critical time there with that, just after the Six-Day War. So I write about my experiences, a lot of them. A humorous story that comes to mind is one which I call high gear, low gear, no gear, which is an experience of trying to get a license to drive a motor scooter as an American in Israel, and the vagaries associated with that. And I think the readers would enjoy. My parents were not happy when they heard after the fact that I had attempted to get that license to drive a motorcycle. But that sounds like my, you know, parents who care about their children.
Well, obviously, Jewish history goes back millennia, thousands of years, as we know from scripture. But history of Israel is pretty short. 1948, is that correct, the founding of Israel?
Correct. That's the modern state of Israel. In Jewish history, I've included stories where I show interactions between, even, you know, I touch on Roman history. I just have a fascination with history. I guess that's my avocation is as a historian. But once again, I see the humor in life. I love studying about other cultures, including, I might add, the Irish culture and the Celtic culture. What I think readers will come away with is how the Jewish American experience is—they'll find so much in common, so much more in common than they will see major differences. Which maybe is a simplistic approach, but I think it rings true, and I think the readers will enjoy it. This book is meant not just for Jewish readers, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
One of my editors actually was a lady by the name of Erin McKnight, with a Scotch-Irish background, who has a small short story publishing firm, actually, in the Plano, Texas, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth area. She related to the manuscript when she reviewed it so directly that she found the commonality, the experience, the importance, I mean, in the Irish world, for example, of the love of family and of
the importance of the mother in the family structure. That's identical to the Jewish American experience. Mm,
absolutely. Well, as we mentioned, folks, this is an eclectic assortment of stories and essays. Some of them are very sobering. Let me ask you about one more here, Joe, and that's Homolka Hesitates. It's a story of a baker in Prague during the horrific days of World War II. Can you talk about that story a little bit?
Yes. That story is entirely fictional, but it's inspired by experiences that I've read about, and even some personal family experiences. It shows the process by which people who were not necessarily directly challenged by the Nazis, in this case, I have to say that Czech residents of a non-Jewish nation were not among those. They were directly challenged by the Germans. And how one went from being more apathetic to identifying with what his Jewish citizens and Jewish residents of Prague were suffering. And he gets radicalized, essentially, by the brutality that he sees. And he takes action. It's a sobering tale, but it won actually a Jewish Literary Award as a selection. Another one with a cinematic pace.
Yes, I can see that very much so.
That's Homolka Hesitates. Mm-hmm. Plus some humor in there, talking about cheesecake usually brings smiles to people's faces, if not pounds to their waist as well, but...
How long did it take you, and where did you find all of these stories, Joe?
Well, it's a process. I was fortunate that starting out as, if you want to call me a sports writer, stringer, for Little League, I met the publisher of a local periodical here in northern New Jersey called the Jewish Link of New Jersey, and the publisher had a son on this all-star baseball traveling team, and I had a grandson, so we became friendly. And I told him that in my Microsoft Word files, I had a number of stories I had written over the years, but they had not, you know, emerged from the ether. He suggested that I send him one or two, and then that started a relationship where over the last 3 or 4 years, they published 30 of the stories that are in the collection. There were others that were not necessarily... of appeal to them, but I write experiences about, for example, why you shouldn't answer the telephone on New Year's Eve after 5 o'clock if you had a date, because it will not be pleasant. It's usually a date calling to say he or she contracted some dread disease and can't go out with you that night.
Yeah, or their dog.
It's called Jack is Jilted, right?
Funny. I'm smiling, sometimes chuckling, but of course, as Joe said, some of these stories are sobering as well. Final question, anything else on the pipeline? Are you still writing? You hope to publish something else, Joe?
Yes. Well, let's put it, first of all, the book, I have a dedicated book site, if I can mention it.
Oh, please, yes,
the
please.
Website, which is www.timelesstravelswithansbook.com. And the book is available to, you know, readers through Amazon or Amazon Prime as Timeless Travels. And I am working on a book about media, the American media. There are two. I worked previously as an attorney in the entertainment law firm sector, and I think there's some potential for me to develop a book around the sort of biography or semi-fictional accounts of these gentlemen.
We'll look forward to that. Joe's current book, Timeless Travels, by Joe Rothenberg. Boy, nice to meet you, and terrific to talk with you, Joe. Thanks for spending some time.
Well, I appreciate you the opportunity to reach your audience. Thanks so much.
Sure, sure. So long now.
Bye-bye.
If you have any extra produce from your backyard garden, here's a thought. Why not donate that excess produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank here in Butler. Now, they don't want all of your garden stuff, of course not. But if you have any left over, or if you'd like to dedicate a little bit to the needy and the less fortunate, that would be great. They make it very easy. They have a collection every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. until noon. You can just take your excess garden produce to the St. Michael Parish Hall on the south side. It's right behind St. Michael the Archangel Church on Center Avenue. And they're there every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. until noon. Drop off your excess.